Meet our audience. They're cutting their hair, working, living their lives, sharing stories, and always listening. So if you're going to interrupt them, it better be good. Prime Media Broadcasting Sales. We help you connect with every fantastic, quirky, and exciting individual in our audience, from the barbershop to the boardroom. Let's make sure your brand is heard. Contact us at advertise@primemedia.co.za today.
We greet Dr. Rose Phillips. It's time now for our last chat of 2024 with our favorite African futurist, Dr. Rose Phillips. Every second Monday, she joined us in the past year, talking about what it takes to unlock an abundance mindset, create better futures for business, planet, society, and for yourself. And she's given a lot of her time, effort, mind, and wisdom and knowledge to the time that she spent with us. She's the founder of and the CEO of Abundance at Work, a leadership development and learning immersion consultancy, helping businesses solve for dignity, unlock people's abundance, and improve how the world works and live. You can find out more at rosephillips.com, and you can also purchase Abundance t-shirts and caps at rosephillips.com. The store, I'm a fan. I'm going to be taking it in all colors, not necessarily all sizes. Our topic for today, what does 2025 hold in store for South Africa? With Dr. Rose, our very own African futurist in the studio, well, on the line. And with only days to go before we welcome in 2025, we're diving into what the year may hold for South Africa. Welcome, Dr. Rose. It's good to have you.
Hello, Clarence. Hello, listeners. Yeah, our last segment for 2024, I can scarcely believe it. It's such a fitting time to talk about 2025. It's only days away. And I believe it's a year that will be both exciting and pivotal for South Africa. I also thought, Clarence, that given this is our last segment for 2024, I'm going to challenge our listeners to share one positive thing they anticipate for 2025. Challenges are all too real, and complaining comes easily. If you just listen to the news often enough, there's just enough to complain about. But hope is hard. So I challenge our listeners to find one reason for hope and to share that one reason for hope. Hope is hard. Complaining is easy, but let's try one reason. Share with us over the next few minutes.
Okay, let's jump right in. Let's dive right in. What's the biggest thing South Africans should have on their radar for 2025 in your mind?
Without a doubt, I'd say it's South Africa's presidency of the G20. This is huge. After India in 2023 and Brazil in 2024, we're the third global South nation in a row to hold this leadership role of basically hosting and holding the presiding over the G20. It's not just ceremonial. It's an opportunity to influence global discussions on critical issues like climate finance, like equitable trade, and sustainable development. But here's the nuance, Clarence. It's not about prestige. And people think it is. It's about purpose. The G20 presidency, it's a tool. It's a blunt instrument that we must wield with skill and we must wield it with intention. I think it's a platform to spark partnerships and solutions that can help us tackle some of our structural challenges like high unemployment, inequality, service delivery issues. None of these issues, of course, will disappear overnight, and the G20 is only here for a year in terms of that presidency. But it's a chance to move the needle, and as the world navigates that post-pandemic recovery that just never seems to end, we're constantly in recovery mode. I think South Africa's presidency allows us to shape policies that align global priorities with the needs of developing nations, especially for us here in South Africa and on our continent.
I just think G20 is no small feat. Maybe is there something we can learn from Brazil and India's presidencies?
Yeah, I did a little bit of investigating. Both countries showed us how to make the most of that 12-month presidency. I must say, though, also, they spent the money. They spent the money. But there are three things. There are three things I would highlight. Number one was agenda setting. Brazil specifically spotlighted social inclusion. I mean, they're also a very unequal nation, right? So they spotlighted social inclusion and sustainable development. India, on the other side, really, really focused on the boom of their young people. They've got also many young people on their continent, in their country. And they focused on digital public infrastructure and climate goals, really opening up the digital world to their young people and to their economy. Now, I think South Africa must use this platform to bring Africa's priorities to the forefront. Things like debt relief, things like the just energy transition, and of course, the inequalities and poverty issues that we still struggle with, and equitable growth that we have to achieve. So that's it, number one for me, agenda setting. Number two, economic visibility. India attracted investment, and it showcased its potential. We must do the same, positioning ourselves as a gateway to the rest of our continent. And we're starting to lose that battle because each of the countries on our continent are becoming their own independent gateway. So we really have to up our game. And then the last, I would say, is diplomatic leverage. Both nations, both Brazil and India, they strengthened alliances and partnerships across the globe. And for us, this is an opportunity to do the same, to deepen ties with both the global north, but for me, probably even more importantly, with the global south. So I think we should think of this as our turn to take the mic and amplify the voice and influence both of South Africa and Africa.
Yeah, talk on behalf of the continent is what you're suggesting. Now, I think a lot of listeners might see this as high-level, maybe political posturing. What does the G20 presidency mean for me and you, for the everyday South African?
Yeah, it's a critical question. How do we make global discussions land in local realities? Because people do look at it and think, oh, that's just political stuff, nothing to do with me. Well, first and foremost, there should be economic opportunities that come from it. Increased investment could lead to job-creating infrastructure projects, whether it's transport or energy, solar panels, et cetera, technology, anything related to digital. Small businesses, especially for entrepreneurship that is so important on in our country and on our continent, that might benefit from trade partnerships that's forged during this 12 months. Then there's policy impacts, focus on climate finance, maybe bring funding for renewable energy and green jobs, which could then lower electricity costs. I mean, the tariffs that Eskom charges on a annual basis, that tariff is up in the teens. I mean, that numbers are high. Advocacy for debt relief could potentially increase funding for school infrastructure or public health care improvements. So that's policy impacts. And I think global attention on local issues is a chance to spotlight unemployment, inequality, and hopefully open doors for international support and partnerships. And then, of course, number four, national pride. Being at the forefront of global decision-making reminds us that South Africa belongs on the world stage and should be, for us, a source for hope and confidence. So both from an economic perspective, there's an uplift, but also from a consumer sentiment, there should be an uplift.
What would you say are the risks, maybe, or the challenges we might face in hosting this G20?
Yeah, Clarence, the risks are there, right? And they are real. Well, firstly, costs. If you're going to host a global event, and it is really it's a 12-month event. The G20 themselves, they only arrive in November when there's this big summit. But before that, the business people come and everybody else associated with those countries come and scout the country for pretty much all of the 12 months, looking for business opportunities, et cetera, et cetera. So it could be quite expensive for South Africa to host it. And if funds are mismanaged, the benefits may not trickle down to ordinary South Africans, as we were talking about earlier. Then, of course, delivery. South Africans could lose faith if the presidency doesn't yield visible improvements in their daily lives. We go through 12 months of hosting the G20, and it was a wonderful event, and everybody dressed up well, but it didn't translate into economic or any other benefit for South Africans. Well, that would be a massive failure. That's a risk. And then, of course, holding leadership accountable. The G20 presidency, Clarence, it's not a magic wand. It's a tool. And I call it a blunt instrument, meaning it's not perfect, but it's powerful when used with the right skill and the right intention, focused on really bringing attention to the issues that matter to us in our country and on our continent. But here's the thing, and I want to be clear about this. While the G20 alone won't fix everything, it is a powerful platform to create partnerships and opportunities that can bring real change. And so while I'm speaking to the ordinary citizen on this call, there are also business people on this call. And if you have not taken the G20 12 months visit seriously, I do suggest that you have a strategy on how you can tap into the potential of the next 12 months.
Sure. So you say the G20 is a blunt instrument, a tool we can maybe leverage for 12 months. But we can't pin all our hopes on the global community. We are the ones ultimately, you know, that we've been waiting for. So what does your crystal ball say about 2025 beyond G20?
Yeah, I love that you said the ones we've been waiting for. We are the ones we've been waiting for. It's exactly the mindset we need in 2025. As I said, complaining is easy, hope is hard. Now, the challenges are real. As I said, youth unemployment remains high. It's upwards of 60% for our kids between 16 and 25. Load shedding continues to weigh on economic growth, even though we've seen improvement. And public trust in government has been fragile, is fragile. GNU has helped a lot, but it remains fragile. And this is not just in South Africa. Across the world, public trust in governance and governments is at its lowest. So we can't deny our challenges, but I think we can defy them. And here's why I'm optimistic. This is why I have hope. First and foremost, I would look at the economic outlook. Let's look at inflation, interest rates, and competitiveness. Now, inflation has stabilized within the 3-6% target range. 4.5% is sort of our midpoint. And this discipline has earned South Africa global respect, right? And has kept borrowing costs high for businesses and households, unfortunately, because we've kept it there, but we haven't really brought it much lower. And this is what happens. When you have high borrowing costs, interest rates don't come down, it makes it harder for businesses to expand and for families to manage their budget. Most of your money goes into paying for a home loan and car loan and educational loans. But there's talk of lowering this target range to align with trading partners who aim for around 2%. Our trading partners and our peers, they don't have a 4.5% midpoint for their inflation. Theirs is much lower. So the reserve banks aim for bringing that down. If they bring the inflation down more, then it means interest rates come down and we've got a little bit more disposable income in our pockets. Now, but if it's done carefully, it could reduce interest rates even more, making credit cheaper and freeing up disposable income and capital for businesses. But if we bring it down too rapidly, we could destabilize the economy. So it's a delicate balance, but one that I think that could really bring relief in 2025 because we're really, really good at inflation targeting. So I'm seeing interest rates coming down. I'm seeing the governor of Reserve Bank saying it's going to try. Maybe we should start reducing our target for inflation. If we do that, we could bring interest rates down a little bit more, make it easier on the consumer and businesses. But we can't bring it down too rapidly because it could destabilize the economy. So that would be number one. I would say number two, as I said before, the G20 and the B20, I think it is a catalyst for growth. It's like hosting a soccer World Cup, but with lasting opportunities. Instead of us just having empty stadiums left behind, maybe it's an economic uplift for us. India used it to emphasize tech ecosystem and infrastructure development, and as I said, Brazil, social inclusion, and it's for us, it's our time. Once again, the time for Africa, I can just hear that song playing in my head. Now, the B20, which is the business 20, not the government 20, but the business 20, they bring the business leaders to the table. And there we could find transformative trade deals, infrastructure project investments opportunities. So it's a launch pad for growth. Number three, the other reason I have hope for, we can do this. We do this all the time. The Springboks, I think, is almost for me the icon of South African hope. It's a national symbol of excellence. If that was not on my list, my mother would have really had a hard time with me. My mother follows the Springboks. And I think it's because they're more than a rugby team, right? They're a symbol of resilience and global excellence. And now I'm beginning to see that there's even billion-dollar deals being talked about. And the last one I heard about is 6.7 billion rand consortium put together for South African rugby's commercial rights, and specifically, I guess, to get the Springbok brand so that there is fan wear and maybe T-shirts and caps and tokens and all sorts of things. Yeah, so the Springbok is the gift that keeps on giving. That just shows that South Africans can find opportunity anywhere, even specifically within our sport fraternity. I hear we're talking about bringing Formula One to South Africa as well. So once again, it just shows the art of the possible there. I have to talk about the GNU. I still think it's a pragmatic progress amid chaos. It is chaotic, and that's okay. Democracy is messy. But I think we are seeing early signs of collaboration and pragmatic governance. For example, we've got coalition governments and key metros starting to focus more on service delivery and infrastructure investment, and that allows for community impact in areas such as water access or waste management, which is one of the really, really startling, bad scenarios of our 50 years of democracy that we haven't managed to get right, that people still don't have access to water and proper waste and sewage services. So it's right that we find different ways. So I think if this momentum continues, it could bring much needed stability and progress to local government, which is really where the impact must be felt the most. And then I would finally say, there's many more, but I'd say finally, load shedding, turning the corner. It's been a long road, but Eskom is turning a corner. New capacity from Kusile, Kuburg and Medupi could reduce load shedding even more significantly by the end of 2025. I'm told that we're going to get about another 2,500 megawatt of capacity coming back on power, and that should boost economic growth and quality of life even further. So yeah, Clarence, my crystal ball says that 2025 will be pivotal. Of course, challenges remain, but we're planting seeds of progress. And while some of us may only see the clouds, I encourage all of us to focus on the silver linings.
I hear what you're saying. I really can't believe that the Springboks made it into your crystal ball, and so to load shedding. Maybe I should just tell you out of the press that they're expecting some load shedding for New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. So maybe we mustn't just get our hopes up too much there.
Oh, no. I never said it's perfect. Never said it's perfect, but it's progress. Sometimes I always say this to my teams, people, let us just focus on progress. Progress before perfection.
Amen.
It's a long way.
Amen. I don't know if you have a view on 2025. I am not there yet. I'm not ambivalent. I'm just torn in two on this one. I think change is going to remain the order of the day. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of people coming apart at the seams because of that. But Dr. Rose, you've given us just so much to look forward to. But if you have an idea on 2025, maybe you're in agreement with where Dr. Rose is at, or maybe you're not. You're welcome via WhatsApp on 0725671567. You've given us a lot to look forward to, while maybe also keeping us grounded in reality. What's your wish for 2025 for South Africa? Is there such a wish?
I do, Mo. I'm going to remain optimist of the year, I hope. That's what my plan is. I am, after all, an abundance professional. And so my wish is that 2025 is a year of opportunity and a year of silver linings. I know there are clouds. That's what silver linings are for. They line the clouds. So it's not like I don't see the clouds. I see the clouds everywhere. But I try and focus on the silver linings, because those of us that want to predict the future, the only way to do so is to create it ourselves. And I want to create an optimistic future. So whether it's the G20 or tackling our challenges head on, maybe bringing Eskom back to life, which is what we are desperately trying to do, this is a year to think about abundance. Abundance in solutions, partnerships and potential. But I must say one thing though, Clarence, abundance requires action from all of us. It doesn't just happen because we dream it. We have to demand accountability from our governance and our governments, and of each other. We must celebrate progress. And we must step into our role as citizens of a country that can lead by example. We are the ones we've been waiting for. You said it. So let's all ask ourselves, how can we as individuals contribute to this abundance in our communities? That's what I wish for 2025, as hard as I know it's going to be. And I know that change is even more rapid than before. And it really does take an emotional toll on all of us. But we have been through tougher times.
Maybe we must say it together. Hold hands, not sing Gumbaya. Maybe we should say it together. We are the ones we've been waiting for. Maybe we should rely more on ourselves and not others to be that change.
Yeah.
But as we close up.
The only thing.
Sorry, you were saying?
Yeah. It literally is the only thing that's going to make change happen, is if we all lean in. We did it with the GNU, with when we all showed up at the polls. Earlier this year, not too long ago. That's what I would say. I agree with you. We are the ones we've been waiting for.
I'm going to miss you. We're not going to talk for a while. So maybe as we close out 2024, a final message for South Africans?
Yeah. What I hope listeners have come to recognize about me, I hope over the past, I mean, we've been at this for a while, but specifically over the past 12 months, because I've been really, really focused on the message of abundance. What you should know about me by now is that I am a fan of We the People. Our resilience, as far as I'm concerned, is our greatest asset. And our can-do mindsets, and that mindsets of abundance, that mindsets of Ubuntu, that we can get through this together, that is our competitive advantage. We don't just rely on our gold below the ground and our diamonds below the ground or our young people above the ground. We literally do rely on our resilience, and we've shown it time and time again. We've been through tough times and tougher times, as they say, but we rise again and again and again. So in 2025, let's focus on the silver linings, because South Africa always rises again and again and again. Thank you, Clarence. Thank you, listeners, for spending the time with me this year. I wish you all the best for 2025, and hopefully, if Cape Talk will have me back, God willing, inshallah, I shall be back on the 27th of January.
We appreciate your time, as always, Dr. Rose. Find out more from Rose with a Z, Phillips.com. And yeah, definitely, you've been guiding us every step of the way, 2024. And I certainly want more of you in 2025, albeit that decision is above my pay grade.